November 19th, 2010, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
From Pedro Show. I'm in San Pedro, back from tour. Started off the show with something from John Coltrane's last tour, from Tokyo in 1966, Peace on Earth. Actually, the Live in Japan has two of them. This is the one from Sankei Hall. And then we heard a Sapporo band called Flute doing Fat Law. And I've got with me guest Nez, Patrick Nesbitt, via Skype, coming to you live from Sapporo. Hokkaido, hey, Mike. Japan. Hey there, Naz.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm getting back to my Pedro life. And, yeah, what's like in the mid-50s. Although I was blessed with the weather of the tour in Japan. There were 22 gigs in 22 days, and only 2 days had rain. In fact, this Sapporo Sahikawa gigs, which I was warned were going to be very cold, were very moderate days because of Hokkaido being so north. But then the last day, that's when the rain came down when you wanted to show me around, right?
Yeah.
But it, yeah, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was a mild, but yeah, so we got a bit of rain.
It wasn't like that the 3 days before, though.
No.
It was beautiful. In fact, didn't even much need a coat. Yeah. What's it like now? You got snow?
Not yet. No, probably next week. But actually, today has been pretty much like it was last weekend when you're here. It's like a beautiful autumn day. Cold, but very sunny.
Huh. Yeah. It was my first time to Hokkaido. First time to the two other islands there too, Shikoku and Kyushu.
Yeah.
So I got to see some places I hadn't before. And I got a lot of music from bands I played with. Some I didn't play with, they just came up and gave me their music. I gotta thank Naz here for like getting this whole thing together. As far as me being over there the last, I don't know, it'll be 3 years in February.
Yeah. For the sister's daughter.
Right. And that's, it'll be six trips. Yeah. All together now.
But that was, this one was the first time you did a tour with your own band. I mean, with the Missing Men.
Yeah. I did 15, first 15 performances of my third opera, Hyphenated Man. The other seven gigs, I had to play littler sets because so many bands. Sometimes, like this, the last gig of the tour was the Wejamikano mini festival, and there was 11 bands. So I couldn't play as long. That's okay. Very, very interesting.
Well, we were very lucky to get the last performance of the album on the Saturday night in Sapporo, and then you did the.
Well, that's where I played with.
The next day.
Yeah, that's where I played with Fluke, and another band too that I played with the night before that, and Sahikawa.
Sahikawa, yeah, they've got a very
long name.
Name.
They're called
Miss Corner Q. I don't know what it's called. I can't pronounce it. Q Local Torsion? Something like that. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it means.
Miss Corner / C plus O Torsion. L L O O Q T O R T I O N. Very interesting. Also, their band was pretty trippy. Basically, it's two drummers playing to some pre-recorded keyboards, which might sound kind of corny-ass and karaoke, but it actually was really good.
Yeah, they're a great band. Kind of reminded me of Mouse on the Keys a little bit.
Yeah. I guess, I wonder who does the keys. Is it them? They do that ahead of time? And then they
I
play
would imagine
drums
so,
too.
Yeah, I think that's the deal, yeah. I think so.
This way they don't have to have the burden of a keyboard
they're
player.
They're incredibly intense, though. I mean, like, the two of them just going at it. They're facing each other. The way they have the drum set up, the two of them are just facing each other at the front of the stage.
Yeah. Dancing around and stuff. And one drum kit very tiny stuff. I think it's like a 5-inch snare. And,
yeah.
You know, tiny ass hi-hat.
Completely engrossing. I mean, as you say, you don't think it's going to be, when you see them set up, you think, oh, what's this? But then you just can't take your eyes off them.
Yeah, I thought they were from up north, from Asahikawa.
I think one of the guys is from Asahikawa. I think they're sort of, they may be based in Tokyo now, I'm not sure.
Oh, really? Because somebody there was telling me they were Sapporo band. Or maybe one of the guys was from there.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
They don't live in Sapporo.
Sorry?
They just came to Hokkaido for those two gigs?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I know that either one or two of them are from Hokkaido. Yeah. But you know, a lot of musicians that you bump into in Tokyo, sort of bigger bands, a lot of them come from Hokkaido. A lot of them moved down there.
A lot of the musician people I met in Tokyo were from smaller towns.
Yeah.
And they'd come there sort of maybe like how it is in Brooklyn or something, or Silver Lake here, California.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like London in the UK as well.
Or like London, yeah, so people go there. So, yeah, getting back to the connection, Naz had... known these guys from Tokyo called Light, and I had just done Funanori stuff, started it, and so you said we should make a split CD for your label.
Yes.
Naz has a label called Transduction Records. At the time it was Irish based, but now it's Japanese based, right?
An itinerant.
Yeah. And anyway, so that's what got it started, as far as me hooking up with the Light Brothers. Then I came over and did a tour in February 2008 under Brother Sister Daughter Monkier. But actually, that's not how the band is now, but that was a kind of a improvisational thing with Sam Bennett on drums and Kramer on fuzz bass. And I did 14 gigs in 14 days of just Honshu towns. But it was actually the first time I played towns outside the big three, Tokyo, Osaka, Nagoya. So it was very interesting for me. And after that, I took Light for two legs of some U.S. tours. I came back. Three of the gigs of that tour didn't have Sam Bennett on drums. It had Yuko Araki. Yuko, her husband, Shimmy, invited me over to record what was to become Spielgusher. All he has to do is give me one more mix of one poem. Not even a mix, really, because it's just Mr. Meltzer by himself. But Richard Meltzer had given me 50 spoken word pieces. I brought them over there. In 3 days, we came up with 64 pieces of music. It was in May of 2008. And I came back again for the first We Jam Econo mini festival. And I brought Nels Klein over, first time he had played. So Shimmy was asking me, who's that guitarist on the first opera? And so, you know, you want to know him? Play with him. So I brought him over. And, that was at Mars, I think. Shinjuku.
Yeah. Mars and Motion.
That's right.
Our next door teacher.
Yeah, I had to run between them, you know. I wanted to see all the bands. That was very... That was intense. That elevator.
It was a great line.
Tiny elevator. Yeah. I ended up using the stairs because the elevator was like two people at a time. And after that, I came back for a summer thing, to record with Jim O'Rourke. And then the following winter I came and did the second We Jammy Kano in Tokyo. But this time it was in Shimo Kitazawa. And right after that, made a second Brother Sister Daughter album. But the four people from the first one, in addition, Yuka Honda. I got to stay with Mr. Shimi's new pad in Chitose Fubarashi part of Tokyo. And man, just as a place where his little studio is in there is bigger than his entire pad. He lived in Shima Takedo for 14 years. So I feel very happy for him there. Although he made the most of it, you know. I conked in that little room. When we did the first one, first Brother, Sister, Daughter album, and Nels Klein came over, it was all three of us men in that little pad. Yeah. But we did it. And that was pretty amazing. Nels Klein coming right off the plane to do the gig, not even practice with us. He wrote a song, in fact. I can show you the sheet music. On the plane.
Diamond Queen.
Yeah, I think it's got another name now. Because there's been poetry. You could put poetry on it. So it kind of morphed. But he wrote that right on the plane. Coming over. And after I left you in Hokkaido, I went back to Tokyo because I had to go to their wedding. Or I got to go. Nels Klein, Yuka Honda, married. And now they want me to come to her 50th birthday in New York City the day after the Altamara's party. Me, Tom, and Raul are going to debut Third Opera Transatlantic December 4. And they want me to do the whole Floored by Four album live with them to celebrate her 50th birthday.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Haven't done it since I recorded it. No. The day after we recorded it, we did a gig of it in Central Park. So this will be the second gig. I'll get to that later. Have you heard that? Did I give you one?
No, I haven't. I've heard one tune. It's only four tunes, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're pretty long.
I wrote one for each. Yeah, one of them's 20 minutes, one for Dougie. Mine's only 4 minutes. I have a little one. 4 or 5 minutes. I think the other two are 10 minutes each.
Yeah. I'd like to hear. I've read some good reviews.
Okay, I'll float to you about it. But anyway, yeah, I got to make connection with a world that was closer to my original roots, and I'm indebted to you for that, Naz. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm just happy I could make the connection.
Yeah. You know what? Let's listen to some of this. How do we say their name?
Miss Corner, C plus Q Loco Torsion.
Okay. Welcome, Peters. Why for Pedro show? Let's see. We just heard PC 125 BPM by Kayoka. Before that, Psychedelic Oki by Wakine, and start off with Prepared Perfect Ending by Miss Corner C plus Lucortion. No disrespect, but a little difficult to say that name. I'd love to know the origin where they got that name.
Yeah, I'll find out.
All these bands, I wish I could have discussion with them and understand what they're saying. You know, sometimes a little bit of language barrier. But actually, a lot of them, you can tell they've had the English in the school. They might not be so good at speaking it, but they're not totally ignorant of it.
No, I think a lot of Japanese, especially young people, you know, they can understand pretty well. Some of them can speak it pretty well, but I think a lot of them are just, they're nervous about making mistakes. And once you get talking to people, they start to open up a bit. Of course, it helps to have a bit of a Nihongo.
I'm not afraid of making mistakes. That's for
sure. Well, that's how you learn.
Now, Kyoka, she's had me on a number of her songs, and I play bass on that song. Of course, when you jam with her, you don't know how it's going to end up being. She calls it dance music. She spends a lot of her time in Berlin now, and she plays these dance and raves. I wonder how people dance to this stuff.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of brainy music. It's very experimental and interesting.
So you've recorded with her before?
One time she came to a hotel room, and I just played into her book. But the other ones, I'd be here in Pedro, and she would send me a track, and I would play to that. So
and
it's more like that.
The finished product.
Even if I do it that way, I don't know how it's going to end up finished. You know, it's all, I don't know, I was saying parts, you know, for her to assemble and put together into her tunes, into her music world. The other recording I did was first time with these cats called Wakine, and I play them a lot on my show, many of their songs, because, I don't know, I love it. It's got a great feel to it. And, just by coincidence, I was there in town, and their man, Tack, said, "Hey, I put something together. I come to this studio," well, they bring me there, and there's 13 cats waiting, including them, and not even talking. I just plugged in the bass and started going for it, and they jumped on and played, and we did about 3 hours, morphing into different kinds of themes, motifs, and they're editing and assembling it now. Their man Ken, by the way, their man Ken knows stuff about healing and stuff, and really did a number on my knee. I'm starting to be, you know, now that I'm home and off tour, I'm starting to get the muscles back stronger. I've been doing exercises on the stairs, and you know, slow as it go, but I'm still kind of crippled up. But these guys, I mean, that was a great experience for me. You know, they were all young people. And nothing jaded, nothing all force-fed about their thing. They just wanted to play, you know. They were happy to do. It was such a gift. So, well, we're coming on the end of the first hour now, and we're going to get to this festival we had a couple weeks ago there in your town there, Sapporo, Nez. We can talk about that. That's it for the first hour of the November 19th, 2010 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. November 19th, 2010 is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. For Pedro show, we just heard all the bands that played in the We Jam Econo 2010 Mini Fest in Sapporo. That was on November 7, 2010, at Sound Crew Live House. If you can tell me how the lineup was put together. For the mini fest,
mostly it was sort of myself and Shimbo San from Spiritual Lounge. So we put together a list of possible bands, and it got whittled down. And eventually, the lineup was settled on. And only two of the band sideshows were on there, but well, some of them were like the bands that we chose were the same. There was a lot of crossover.
Oh,
and then, you know, obviously one of the bands had to pull out.
That's right.
But you know, I was seeing, yeah.
That's right. In fact, kind of an interesting, actually very depressing story. The guy got deported, the main guy in the band,
yeah.
Desenko Jones. Yeah. But the other two band members came. They were actually. All three guys in that band were gaijin foreigners.
Yeah.
And but I think the how long? 15 years.
In Sapporo, yeah.
He'd been living there.
Canadian, a Brit, and an American. Unfortunately, our good friend John is back in the States.
Yeah.
Now. But anyway, they would love to play it, but I was seeing some of those bands for the first time myself as well, so. You know,
right.
There's a lot of bands in Sapporo.
But we start off the second hour with Four Points doing a song called In the Box. Yuko guitar, Masakali guitar, Suke bass, Chibu drums. Actually, I remember, I mean, these guys went on at 4 in the afternoon. Yeah, did you know Four Points? They were like...
I've seen Four Points. Quite a few times, yeah.
They were, I just thought for starting off a show and going for it. And then we heard Ken Boone by Amusica. Amusica, kind of like the last band with the two guitar bass drum thing. Satoshi on guitar, Hashimo on guitar, kazoo bass, uki drums. And, they were a little more, I thought Four Points was more on an assault, and the Musica maybe a little more sensitive. I don't know. Do they use this word emo over there?
They certainly do. But
because emo to me, do you remember this band, Rites of Spring?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that word is so stupid. It's like saying this is emotional music, as if any other music isn't.
Yeah, but that, I remember
that. Well, I know where they're coming from.
I remember that was the first time I heard it used. In fact, we played with them.
Yeah.
I played Guy's bass. I'm pretty sure it was Guy's bass. Mm. But because something was wrong with mine. I remember the neck was shattered, so some notes really vibrated weird. There was cracks in the neck. It wasn't shattered, but yeah, there was breaks, so it was pinching on the back of in my palm. Yeah, from the back. This guy had a trippy bass that was like a Beatle bass, but it was solid body and kind of full scale. The bass players, you know, I kind of biased. I look at first. But this, after that we heard the Lumdies, which was a trio with no bass. And they did a song called Zigzag here. But I had just, you know, I wanted to see all the bands, you know, so it's up and down the, where you stayed in the room was on a different floor than the gig, so up and down the stairs, and the setup times of these bands were so fast. Now, thing about over there is using the same equipment, much different than here in the U.S. For one thing, the clubs don't have their own set of equipment, which is very common about the live houses, which makes it great if it's on the seventh floor. So you don't have to bring the stuff up or these tiny little stairways. So you use this gear that's there, so the changeovers can be quite quick. And actually, I was you were spinning the record, so between 4 points and music, I stayed up there and watched them both. But I came down the stairs after music, I dug both bands, but I came down the stairs, and which is kind of scary because you can go up. You don't have to worry about going too fast upstairs, but you gotta worry about going
down.
Okay, so yeah. I get down there, taking my time, you know, being careful, and then Tom Watson comes running up to me, and he says, "You gotta come up here and see this band." I mean, they're already playing the Lumdies, and I knew something a little about Lumdies because the night before at the Hall Spiritual Lounge, this guy who maybe from Australia originally, he makes films. He says that I had to see this band because he uses them in his films.
Yeah, Dennis. Yeah, they're in one of his movies. Yeah.
Are they actually in it, or are they just playing the music behind?
It's they're actually in a play, and they're playing themselves, but Hiroto, the singer-guitarist, is a sort of lead acting role in the movie as well.
He was quite showman. Hiro on guitar, Omea on guitar, Sally on drums. There's a bar in front of the stage. He was walking this thing, you know. It wasn't a bar like, it was metal pipe, you know, with some foam rubber on it. He wasn't like walking the bar like John Coltrane had to do. He was literally balancing himself while he's playing harp and guitar. Quite a showman. But these guys didn't, they used the same drums as we all did, but they brought their own little amps. He had these old, to get these bluesy sound. They were really with the blues kind of thing.
Yeah, but still, kind of angular, I think, as well. They were, his guitar style was really interesting. I think they're a great band.
Yeah, he could whip it up, and Watson was totally enthralled. So I dug it too. The drummer too has a unique kind of a Nick Knox style, but like she was, God, it might have like one of them little Shriner cars. In the parades, you know, they use them little cars, and like she's pushing herself along. It's a very upright kind of style with the hands swinging. And they all, Hiro sang most of them, but they all had their own little signature songs, too, I guess, for their persona.
Yeah, I'll trade them, do both. Yeah.
Then I went down the stairs again, you know, and right away I start hearing the music coming up. I mean, maybe I was just slow motherfucker.
No,
I mean,
you were
playing. Yeah, you were playing music between. I only really got to hear it between the first two bands, but you were just playing stuff from your collection, or?
Yeah, yeah. Until it got to later on, I think, you know, Bob Knights, I think I played the Coltrane before you played.
Yeah, that was great. But I get back up the stairs again, and it was Aeroscream. And we played here Never Enough. Juno guitar, Mashiro guitar, Ayaho bass, Yutaka drums. This drummer, he was kind of a Mitch Mitchell type, like, I'm going to show you everything I know, kind of. But humble. I mean, I talked to him after, and he was very humble and stuff, but man, he was like whooping it up. And you can tell on this recording here how they play it up. This had the one guitar. Again, you know, the two-guitar thing, but I said this before, that they played a weird anti-lead guitar style, both of them. This was just, usually one guy backs down and lets the other go off, but like they both, like, kind of vacuum guitar, and the one cat had a fro.
Yeah.
Just to show you, it's not all look same. I mean, it's kind of like what I had. Mine was bigger, but in high school, that's how my hair would grow if I didn't cut it. George Hurley too, and even more. His was like a sphere, like a helmet. It was great in high school. He had this giant. Mine was kind of big, but my curls are bigger. His got smaller. And this cat reminded me, like, I remember him dropping a pick too, and it took the longest time to get it up. I think it was part of the style they had of this driving rhythm section and then leaving holes. And it was interesting material was next. Again, but this time some guy, and it was weird, I started meeting him coming up and down the stairs, and he actually started giving me a lift with his shoulder. He was like the moon shuttle conductor or to help me. it was kind of wearing me out. Also, I didn't even get to the room this time. There was some cat selling his version of Mexican food, something. There were these skinny hot dogs in a tortilla with some kind of sauce and lettuce and daikon, shredded daikon. And the sauce was trippy. It had no Mexican taste in it. But there was some habanero sauce, you know, which, like, you never see that in Europe. So Shimmy gave me this stuff. You know, Yuzukosho I've used a lot, and it's not a lot of heat, but somebody's came up with this stuff called Yuzosko, where it's the yuzo. Yuzo is like this kind of citrus fruit over there. They're like big wrinkled lemons, and they make kind of a pepper out of it. But this mixed it with the chili, so with the habanero, so it was heat with this citrus flavor. Very interesting. I mean, there's been some Caribbean ones with lime juice. I put lime juice in my chili sauce. But this is very interesting. So anyway, I had one of these things. He cooked them. He cooked the dogs up in this pan and then rolled them up in this kind of tortilla, kind of pita.
Yeah, it was like a pita bread.
But a thin one. And so back up the stairs, and it's a band called Material, and we played I Was a Boy Here. Kind of the standard lineup for the festival, the two guitars, bass and drum, Zaki guitar, Tamayo guitar, Kinzo bass, Washa drums. But what struck me right away, I mean, another Rickenbacker bass. Kay would have been, I think the guy was playing a Rickenbacker guitar too. But the bass man had painted words on his shirt, which I hadn't seen in a long time. This is what me and D Boone did when we first were punk rockers. Was you made your own clothes. You know, there's pictures from England and stuff that a little more interesting. The Ramones seemed to have a kind of a uniform. Actually, Richard Hell, he painted right on his own skin, but on that album cover. But his shirts had more designs. But we like this idea of the words. And, getting clothes at the thrift store and ripping them up and painting on them. And this guy, I couldn't read what it said.
It was in English.
It was in English, yeah. And it was using our alphabet. And I told you, I think it was, he did it opposite because where the letters were was his shirt. And so it was kind of a, he cut out the letters and then spray painted around them, which was opposite to us. We used stencils.
Right, yeah.
And just like the putting your name on an amplifier or a bass case or something. We used to paint on there. And D Boone would write with magic marker. I remember one time we were playing the Anti-Club, and he had on his shirt, it said, "Fight using your balls." And I was like, do you think people are going to know what that means? And he goes, "Look, it's not my job always to tell people what to think." And I said, yeah, that's, you know, sometimes you just got to put stuff out there. And so I was like, yeah, okay. That's pretty loose. I mean, that, you know, there's enough uptight stuff coming from everyone. I had Richard Hell as a guest on my radio show. He was my first punk rock hero. I put a picture of him on my bass way back then, and I got a lot of shit for that by rock and roll people in my town. And that's at that point was when I decided I didn't care anymore what people thought. Because believe it or not, it was kind of weird. You were joining a minority kind of thing where you're going to take blows. It's hard to describe it now because people are so open-minded about punk. But they were not in those days, especially people, you know, fellow rock and roll people or whatever. And anyway, I had Richard Hell on my show. I went to his apartment, and I asked him about the clothes. And he got really kind of weirded out by that, you know. But the clothes were a big deal to us in a way. The clothes were a way of us, I know this sounds like a stretch, but to have confidence, try and write our own songs, try to come up with our own sound. I know because clothes sound like trendy and superficial, but
how about find your own identity?
The way they were making up their own clothes, you know, it was a very original thing. They weren't going, they weren't being designed, but wearing designs by other people, you know, they were making their own clothes up. And it seemed like to go hand in hand, yeah, with what you say, your own identity. Although we know what it turned into. You know, I played this stage on Warped Tour a couple years ago called Hot Topic, and I thought it was about debates or some shit. And found out, told me it's this clothes store at the malls where you can dress. They let you know, they'll sell you punk clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can dress different, just like everybody else.
So, boy. Anyway, you know, four of the five bands I've mentioned all had the same kind of lineup, but I said to you before, the Hooskers, the Meat Puppets, the Minutemen, we all were all trios using the same lineup, and you could have your own sound. I don't think it was... it's not much of a stretch to do that. It's like, you all use typewriters. Why don't you write the same novel? And the next band, Cigarette Case, the same kind of lineup, but the bass player sang in this band, Chisato, and then Yohei guitar, Yuji guitar, Mao drums. This is the band we saw when we came in for soundcheck. And I guess we saw the three that live in Tokyo that came back for the gig. And then the guy who stayed in Sapporo, he showed up. I was really impressed by his. He was pretty wild. And I remember talking to him.
Yeah.
And the song we heard was Kampasu. I was talking to him. His guitar is called a Thin Line. And the first guy I saw play a Thin Line was the cover of the Curtis Live album, Curtis Mayfield. And I talked to him a little bit about that, and I don't know sure if he was thought I was nuts or was new and was convinced I was nuts or something. But then finally, I think it made sense a little bit. I was talking about the kind of guitar and this musician from the old days. Actually, you know who turned me on to that album was Dezo, who ended up singing and playing guitar in Black Flag. Yeah. He also had a band with Paul Rossler. But, These are the people that had left, but still have the band. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't fully understand the situation, but I thought they were really good. They were they were full tilt. They were going at it really like power punk pop or something like that. They were really fast, and the lady on bass and vocals, she had it well together. Really good.
Yeah, but. Going back to the Warped Tour thing, I wouldn't say it was one of those kind of.
No, she sang in Japanese as well. So.
Although the Warped Tour, sometimes you see some bands that break out, but it seems to like coalesce. There was a band we played with in Kagoshima. I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa. You know, this Descendants elaboration kind of thing. And. Yeah, they are also the singing in their own language. Almost all the bands did. I think maybe Lumdies would sing English sometimes.
Yeah, I think half of the songs in English, half Japanese. But similar case. Yeah, I know. Maybe you could compare them to that sort of a strand of bands, but. I think they had their own sound, like all the bands on the...
Right. I said emo before because I looked up on the web some of those things, and they call themselves emos, these bands. But I wouldn't... It's not like Fallout Boy or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how useless...
Because, you know, MySpace gives you these categories, and you have to fill them in or something, you know? So they should probably pick tropical music or something like that.
Two-step.
Yeah.
And now the next band, Desert, they played something live here. You said it was from their first gig called Entryway. They're a much different lineup. They had Sushi on sax, Junpei on sax, Suke guitar, AG drums, Ega bass. And, they were kind of a funky band.
Great,
the guitar was still, it wasn't buried, but it was more of a rhythm guitar, a driving kind of thing. He had some problem with his pedals and stuff, just kept going.
Yeah.
At first I thought that was part of the sound, and the staff. You notice a lot of staffs at the live houses are ladies. It's not like that in the U.S., a little more.
Yeah, running on stage to fix cymbals and cables and stuff like that.
Yeah. Sometimes they're mixing. Kagoshima gig, we had this lady, tiny lady, man. She did a great show. But this band here, the alto player sometimes would play synthesizer.
It was the first time I'd seen them play, and they absolutely blew my head off.
So that must have been a pick from Shimbo or something.
They
ended up at the Chow too, and finally we had Disco Torsion, where I don't know, it's like my 19th time up and down the stairs, and I see the two drum. There was a drum set starting to get built. Every time I get up, the last couple of bands, I would see more and more of these drums added. And then, you know, on the they weren't on the stage. They were in the crowd by the one of the PA columns. And then they brought it up, and it was two drum sets. And kind of, you know, I had a little sense of the boredoms. But really, they're their own thing. Disco Torsion, Takahiro. It says vocals and guitar, but he only did singing. And kind of a Christ-like figure conducting the band a little bit. Who would not, Darby style, would not put the microphone to his mouth, which was great. Satoshi on guitar and keyboards. He was wild. He seemed like his kind of lieutenant. There was another guitarist that's not listed here, that tall man on the side doing all the leads during the time. So yeah. He will remain unnamed. Kazutomo on bass. He was very wild. He had a big, fuzzy sound. Then he went to guitar for the last song. They had three guitars. No, the other guy went to the synthesizer. And then the two drummers, Nozomi and Now, I guess. And a song from their new CD, Damn. It's called Damn. And they were really... You say these guys even tore off the island. They actually get out of town, right?
Yeah, they go down.
You could tell a little more... of the gig thing. Yeah, a little bit of buttholes too, I was thinking. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But their own son, yeah, when I saw them in the older days, not the real old days, the buttholes changed a lot too. They morphed.
Well, the two drummer thing, and it's so heavy, I can see the comparison. But, yeah, very intense band. Kind of frightening.
Yeah, I was right up front. I didn't watch any bands, in fact, from the back. I got up front. I thought nobody had hurt a guy on a crutch. And I didn't get hurt. And that way, I think I got to thank everybody who played, which was important to me. It's what I've done with the other two Rejamiconos. I want you to talk a little bit about what a band has to do to play in Japan that's from Japan. The scene different than in the U.S. or England or Europe.
Yeah, it's set up a bit differently here because you got to play in these live houses and they're kind of custom built venues. You know, soundproof really well. They have got great equipment. As you said earlier, they've got their own usually all you know really good stuff. But it's pay to play, so all the bands gotta pay in order to play, which is you know a pile of shit to be honest with you. But it can be really expensive, like you know 20,000 yen.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night, 20,000 yen. I mean that's you gotta bring in X amount of people, and even then when you bring in more people, you got your fee covered. The venue will probably try and take a cut of, you know, any money you make. You know, I think it's amazing how great the music scene is here, especially, you know, the underground music scene is that people are still, you know, getting it together and they have the spirit to do it in spite of all these factors, which are, you know, conspiring against them. It's pretty difficult to be in a band over here, you know. It's expensive. And it's expensive to tour, especially if you're from Sapporo.
Yeah. I know the roads have big tolls. Yeah. In fact, for us to do 22 gigs in 22 days was kind of unheard of.
Definitely. You know, I mean, some of the towns you went to on this tour, I'm pretty sure they probably wouldn't have seen a U.S. band play there. Like Asahikawa.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean that was a great thing about this festival. You know, I think it was really inspiring, especially you know coming up here so far north, inspiring a lot of the bands that were here. Then you know, maybe had Fugazi play here in the 90s, but there hasn't really been much apart from, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. But, yeah.
Well, man, I was all eight of these bands, and then, you know, us three of the unit went up there, and it was a good time. What a way to end the tour. Four yeah. Points, Musica, Lumdies, Aeroscreen, Material, Cigarette Case, Desert, Disco Torsion, Shimbo there at the Sound Crew, you, yourself, Naz. I'm just so grateful. Of course, Kazuto-san for pulling the whole tour and deal together. I think it was the We Jam Econo mini festival thing was his idea. I remember him asking me for the 2008 one.
Well, you got to do it next year now.
Yeah, of course.
Got to pick a different town, though.
Yeah, okay. will do. I know you got to bail now, and we're coming up the end of the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show for November 19th, 2010. Thank you again, Brother Nez. And hang tight for hour three. November 19th, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Scott from Pedro Show. Started off the third hour with some music from bands that played with me and my Missing Man on this Hyphenated Man in Japan tour, October-November 2010. These bands here were from the most southern of the four big islands of Japan called Kyushu. And we started off with a Kumamoto band called Do It Science and a tune called Technology, followed by another Kumamoto band called Trial Error and a tune called Iriza. Here they are from Family. We played within Fukuoka. And then Lubick Cave House with a tune called Ten. And they were with us in Kagoshima. Now, the smallest of the four islands is Shikoku. And here's three bands we played with there.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Some music from some Shikoku bands that me and my missing man got to play alongside. Of course, with our brothers Light, they played every single gig with us. But, you know, a lot of these bills sometimes, 11 bands on the bill, 7, 8, 6. So I got to see a lot of underground Japanese bands. And for the first time, not just Honshu, you know, the three smaller islands that make up the big four of Japan. These are Shikoku bands. First thing you heard was Parallel Soul by Soma. Soma, great band. I mean, all these bands I loved. These cats, it was in Matsuyama. And then Namita Next, that means tears, and a tune called Himizu no Koro. And that was in Tokushima. And a great cat named Ism sang for them, and we got to conk at his pad. And that's the first time I got to put my Chuck Taylor's in Japanese beach sand. That was trippy. Last New Year's, I went to some cliffs at Inobosaki up by Chosi City, but first time in the sand. And, of course, I wanted some surf to wash up on them, but not, you know, go over the ankles. So when I tried to get back with this fucked-up knee, I tumbled and got sand in the camera, which is why I had to get another one in Osaka. Finally, another band from the Matsuyama gig, Forget Me Not, great band, with Yutsu no Hato. I think that's Pigeon Depression or something. And, Cat from their band has a great label. He gave me a bunch of releases from him. Play them next time. So many kind people I met on the tour, and so many people excited about music. You know, it's really, really wonderful. Yeah, here's his label here. His name was Akinori. Not the light drummer Akinori, but another one. Great guy. I think it's Impulse Records, yeah. Everybody knows about Impulse, right? John Coltrane's records. But this is just slightly different. Now some bands I'm going to play from Honshu, the Big Island, Watt from Pedro Show.
Oh,
Watching Pedro show. Some Hanshu bands we got to play with, me and my missing man, on this Hyphenated Man in Japan tour. Start off with a couple bands we played with in Toyama, and one of the oldest live houses still going in Japan called Pepperland. Great folks there. Actually, all live houses had very, very kind people. Fuck. What? I'm fucking doing the radio show. It's Richard fucking Bonnie. Okay, call me. Okay, back to he's beautiful. I love Richard fucking Bonnie. I'll spiel with him later. But back to this, yeah. Started with Yoles in the Sky, then a tune called Oh My Balance. And then we heard Riders by Ketch. Ketch actually at the gig played solo with the guitar, singing, and he was great. Both bands, fantastic. Then we played, well, I did, something from Sendai, a band called Nameme, a tune called Me Kara Bibi Dan, and man, the guitarist in this trio, he could pull some serious faces. He was intense. It was earlier in the tour, and Sendai, beautiful town. All these towns, really good. One of the righteous things about this tour was me getting to see all these different parts of Japan and different cultures, different chows, different ways of making music, and everybody very, very interesting. Then a couple bands from Matsumoto, kind of where near where Mr. Shimmy's from in Nagano. Thoronko, song by Slum. Slum is, we got to conk at their pad, you know. It was kind of like my U.S. style of touring where I'm at people's pads, and young people in this band. Very interesting conversation after the gig, you know. Getting to share in on that too, and the good chows that were, what they call it, handmade. And just having a good old time and learning from them. And then finally, Gollum by Mant. And Mant had the drummer of the Anks playing bass this time. Anks was the band that played there at Club Alex Matsumoto when I was there in February 2008. And the name is an acronym, the first letter of each band member. It was good to see him again. Now I'm going to play you some music from two bands that aren't from Japan, but they played with us in Japan on this tour. Atabisi Shank from Ireland, about 9 gigs or something, and Tara Melos from Sacramento, California, for about 6 gigs. And they're not from Japan, but we played with them there, and they're just greatest bands, very happening, very original, and full of life. And I don't know, just inspired me to no end. And they are also very righteous cats. So here they are. Okay, that was Oyasumi by Atabisi Shank, and after that was A Spoonful of Sorry by Taramelos. That's all the time we got. I had a great tour, great time in Japan, 15 times with the Third Opera, can't wait to bring it to the U.S. Well, the first time is going to be Sunday in a couple days. Big respect to Tom and Raoul, of course the Light Brothers, Mr. Lou Barlow, for working with Tom and Raoul last week. He's one of my favorite singers ever. Big respect, Lou. It's been the November 19th, 2010 edition of the Bob from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.